This KFKA podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. There's only one Colorado and one community like Greeley, the place we've called home for years. Family-owned, community-focused banking, Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.
Football Friday, presented by Big City Roadhouse. We're having issues with a lot of these games. Picks are today, everybody knows that, coming up at the end of the show. And this is one of the more complicated games to figure out. So hopefully Ethan Bird, KGWN-TV, one of our Cowboys insiders, can help us make some sense of what to expect between Wyoming and Air Force, two of the more mind-boggling teams, I believe, in the Mountain West Conference, Ethan.
Yeah, none of it makes sense.
No.
An Air Force team with a bad defense and good at passing?
Yeah. I mean,
what are you talking about?
It's wild, man.
It is absolutely wild. I mean, good on Troy Calhoun to, you know, be able to adjust and adapt to the talent that he has. I mean, other than the defensive side. But on the offensive side, I mean, it just shows that I guess he's willing to break away from the Air Force traditional offense if he's got the pieces to do something different. And then Wyoming, you know, third quarter last week, everybody, including myself, was like, all right, going into another depressing press conference. And then a miracle fourth quarter happens. And we're like, where has this team been this whole season? It is really hard to make sense of what to expect come tomorrow.
Well, I mean, the interception, you know, that interception by Braden Johnson was kind of right. Everything you just said, that play kind of defines Wyoming. I mean, it was a weird, the ball was bouncing all over the place, and then bam, right in his hands, and he takes back, completely flips that game upside down. But sometimes you need those things to change the course of your season.
I mean, sometimes you just need a little bit of luck, right? You know, Scott Van Pelt says it all the time. Things get weird in Laramie. I mean, a lot of that reminded me of two seasons ago when they went undefeated in War Memorial, but that's because, you know, sometimes a good break went their way in the fourth quarter. You know, blocked field goals, interceptions, things like that. But also, 2 years ago, we had a really unfortunate game in Falcon Stadium. You got a couple missed field goals, and that's why you lose the game.
Talking to Ethan Bird, trying to make sense of this one. For the Cowpokes, for the Cowboys this weekend against Air Force. And you started to see in that fourth quarter, you know, the interception happens and then a lot of things start opening up suddenly. Caden Anderson ended up with 300 yards passing, two beautiful touchdown passes. And then, of course, Kelman's touchdown run. That touchdown at the end might be one of the best runs I've seen all year.
It might be one of the best runs in Wyoming history.
Yeah.
I mean, he went full-on beast mode. It broke four tackles, juked out pretty much the whole secondary, and put the game on ice. I mean, it was a special moment because, I mean, he was not supposed to score right there. He was supposed to take it to the hash so that Eric Sandvik had a better shot at it. He said, oh, no, I'm going to do it myself. And Teron's he's a great kid. So I was really happy for him in that moment because that's going to be an iconic moment from this whole season. And I think it really stems from the belief and the hope that these guys have in each other. And I think it only builds on that. And we'll see if that translates into tomorrow.
They ended up scoring 35 points against San Jose State. It feels like they're going to have to do probably a little more than that to beat Air Force. Mm-hmm. Air Force, I say this, like they've got to be one of the best bad football teams in college football right now.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you've got to score at least 40 against this Air Force team, I would think. I mean, last time we saw them score 40 was Caden Anderson's first game as a starter against New Mexico
in
a shootout. But I don't think a shootout really favors this Wyoming team. You know, we haven't seen them perform elite offense really this year. Yes, last week we saw some good things. A win cures a lot of things, but that doesn't forgive everything that we've seen so far this season. I mean, well, only, I think, 21 of those 35 points comes from the offense. Only 21 of those points, because you have the punt return from Dion DeBlanc and the
beautiful
pick six.
You're
going to take all of the defensive and special team scores that you can get, but this offense is really going to have to open it up.
And you, what's your confidence level that that can happen this weekend? It's a big game for Wyoming. If you beat Air Force, suddenly you're 2-1 in the conference, and you've got big picture stuff on your mind. You've got, you know, potentially a path to getting into the Mountain West Championship. That's how big this game is.
If they don't pull off the win against San Jose State, my confidence level, very low. My confidence level, I would put it at lukewarm now. In this offense, they showed good things, but you've got to show good things consistently. And I think Jay Johnson actually called a really good game for the most part last week. But you know, it gets to a point where the execution has to be there, and we've seen some really special sparks of execution from this Wyoming offense. But it's all just come in pretty primarily the second half, and against an Air Force team like this, you can't go down early against an Air Force team like this. You know, the beautiful throw and catch from Anderson to Michael Fitzgerald in that first quarter last week, you're going to have to see a lot more of that tomorrow.
Yeah, that's the thing. We've just kind of been waiting to see it all connect. They have some interesting pieces, but it just always looks a little bit off, and they say a game of inches, all that, and that's unfortunately been the issue for Wyoming. You know, offensively, at times you look at it and think maybe they're starting to figure it out, and then you have three or four possessions in a row that are pretty clunky.
Yeah, it's going to have to be a perfect game for them. I believe in this defense through and through. The growth that Aaron Bull has had as defensive coordinator throughout this season has been really awesome to watch. And this defense has really showed up, especially last week. You know, they got exposed a little bit, especially in that first quarter when you think Scudero's going to change the world. But they settled in. They made the adjustments with two backup safeties in there. And Andrew Johnson's going to be back this week. And I think this defense, you're playing a very different team, but I think that they could play Air Force as tough as anyone has this season.
Do you see them slowing this thing down for Air Force then? Air Force, again, they're 0-4 in the conference. I mean, they're pretty much just playing spoiler at this point. But every time I watch Air Force, I'm thinking, why are they so, oh yeah, they're defense. Because they're the most exciting games of the games we follow, because it's going to be Air Force scores quickly. Their opponent scores quickly. It's going to be back and forth. Air Force put up 48 against UNLV. But they've scored a ton. I mean, they're averaging around, you know, high 30s, it seems like. Can Wyoming put a dent in that?
I really think the defense can do that. I mean, it's going to come down to that first possession. If you don't get a stop in that first possession, then you're going to find yourself in a bad spot, and that's where we're going to figure out exactly where this defense matches up. But I think they match up really well.
All right, so I'm looking at this game, and I always ask you, you know, where you're leaning on this one. The Cowboys are 4.5-point dogs on the road, not too far on the road, but on the road nonetheless. Do the Cowboys cover that? Do the Cowboys win this game?
I think they've got a shot to cover that. I like 4.5. This game very well could come down to a field goal. Wouldn't be very surprised by that. But I think what you've got to be most confident in is that total. At a 57.5, I don't think that I think that gets smashed in the first quarter or first half almost.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. I mean, Air Force is, you know, they're going to score. We'll just see. I mean, if you just looking at it, you think, oh, Air Force probably going to score 30 again. But who knows? This could be one of those odd games where Wyoming's defense does what we kind of expect them to do, and they can really shut down Air Force. And maybe this is the weekend, too. The Cowboys find that offense, and it could be the perfect storm for this team.
Yeah, I mean, You hope so, especially because covering wins is more fun than covering losses, especially when you've got to travel 2.5 hours down south on I-25 to do it. But I've got to ask you really quick before we go, Brady, do you think this is a rivalry game?
I think it's a rivalry game. I don't think it's like, it's not Wyoming CSU, right? It's not that.
Yeah.
But do you, I guess I would say kind of.
Yeah, I think it's got a little extra to it. I've got a different background on this because my granddad, Lieutenant Colonel in the Air Force, he taught at the academy. He was the eligibility officer for the football team. So we went to a lot of Air Force games. Yeah, Troy Calhoun will never admit it's rivalry whatsoever. And it's not nearly as big as the Commander-in-Chief games, but, you know, growing up, season tickets, going to those games, there are two games that you didn't miss, no matter the weather, and that was CSU, and that was Wyoming. And especially when we get into the new Mountain West, who is your regional rival?
Yeah, well,
Air Force and Wyoming, the
yeah.
two front-range teams. I think this game does, no matter what anybody says, I think this game does mean more and always has meant more because it's two tough-nosed front-range football teams.
And now does it kind of now probably both programs, both fan bases are going to try to make this even a bigger rivalry now because that's – now mm-hmm. we know Wyoming and CSU, they kind of worked it out. They're going to be playing each other still. But in the conference, it obviously means a lot more. So you got to yeah. wonder if now we're really trying to emphasize this as a major rivalry.
Yeah, and they're always, almost always fun, weird football games. And that's what breeds rivalries, right? You know, the tradition of it, you know, how long we've been playing each other. You can't deny it anymore, and it's kind of driving me nuts that Air Force is.
Yeah, well, I'm excited about this game. Certainly a very interesting prospect for us this weekend. I mean, it could be, watch, it'll probably be like Air Force defense steps up, but they can't score. And then
yeah.
Wyoming's offense, who knows, man? It could be one of those wacky games.
It's going to be like 14-7.
Yeah, wouldn't that be something if that's the way this thing goes?
Yeah, college football's weird, man.
100%. Hey, here's one for you. Troy Calhoun. Obviously, yeah. he's been so successful with Air Force.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, last year was rough, and then this year's kind of what it is. But I was thinking about this the other day. Like, wonder why that guy stuck around. I mean, he probably had other opportunities at some point.
Yeah, I mean, that's a great question. My family has a good relationship with Troy. They had a good relationship with Fisher DeBerry. I mean, two guys who stuck around for a long time. I mean, it's hard not. It seems like it's a culture that they stick around in because they're supported by the people around them, and he's proven that he can have a high level of success at Air Force. This year has been weird. Last year was even more disappointing. But he's definitely gotten bigger offers because if you can be successful at Air Force with the limitations that you have, that means you're a pretty darn good coach. But I mean, he's been coaching the wishbone, whatever they want to call it now, for a long time. So I'm wondering how he would adjust to doing that. If he could do that at a different program, or if he'd have to become a completely different offensive coach.
Yeah, I'm curious because again, his name, with all the Jay Norvell stuff, there's a lot of names that pop up, and Troy Calhoun's
yeah.
name pops up randomly. I don't know if that's where I'd go, but it's just kind of food for thought. Just kind of fascinating.
Oh, I don't think he'd ever go to CSU.
No, probably not.
that would be a shock.
They would hate him forever there in Colorado
oh, yeah.
Springs.
Yeah. I mean, look at how much Reno hates Jet.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, and that's not even a rivalry. I guess Nevada kind of maybe starting to view it as a rivalry, but it's going away.
That's not a rivalry.
Yeah, no, not at all. Ethan, my man, always appreciate the insight. Let's see what happens. For Wyoming's sake, I hope they can pull this off because I want to talk about how, if CSU beats Hawaii this weekend, suddenly that game, obviously the boot, everything that goes into it, but that game
yeah.
has a little extra juice because the winner of that game sets themselves up for hopefully an exciting finish in the conference race.
Let's get weird at the border work.
Yeah,
man.
Yeah, let's do it.
That's all I want.
Yeah.
Thanks for letting me go longer today.
No,
great
stuff by you, my friend. No, anytime. Ethan, appreciate it, my man, and we'll catch up with you next week.
Hey, you have a good one, man.
Ethan Bird, KGWN-TV. I just don't know. Is this the game that Air Force wakes up defensively? because they've gone up against, you know, some pretty darn good football teams. Or at least we think. We don't know if UNLV is any good. I mean, they're undefeated, Mike, but the schedule is what it is. Hawaii, they caught Hawaii at an interesting time. You know, they lost to Boise State. I think Utah State's pretty good. Is that, were they just a victim of a really, because who knows, UNLV could go on and run the table. They play Boise State this weekend, Mike, so that's a big game. That's a test right there. I just don't, I'm going back and forth on this, because on one hand, I could see Air Force getting some stops against Wyoming's offense that really hasn't done much this year, and then their offense just keeps doing what it's doing, and this could be a major blowout. But maybe Wyoming's defense keeps it close, and then an offense takes that momentum from the fourth quarter against San Jose State, and they really go forward, and maybe even they could blow out Air Force. I don't know why I keep thinking this might be a blowout one way or the other.
The evil part of me wants this game to be 6-3.
Because we're all talking about, you know, Air Force's offense and the over and all that stuff.
Yeah, I just want everybody to be miserable. All the people who are betting the over, I want them to be
why?
Like, 6-3 in the fourth quarter. What's going on?
This conference is weird. So, I mean, I wouldn't be surprised. But every time I think Air Force is going to slow down and just get blown out in a game, they just keep scoring. They
you
just
buy this
keep
conference
scoring.
At Dunkin' Donuts.
What? Oh, because they're cupcakes? Is that
no, because they're all a bunch of donuts. They're not cupcakes. Cupcakes are below donuts.
Okay. Thank you. 21 minutes after the hour. Brian Howell is going to join us from Buff Zone. The Buffs are off this week, but they're coming off a big win against Iowa State, so they get to kind of enjoy that a little longer. What does Brian think of I think we're out of the race, right, for the Big 12, but are they a bowl team? And I think a lot of Buffs fans, given how this season has gone, would take that at this stage, but they still have a very tough task ahead of them the rest of the way. 22 after the hour, it's the whole show. We're powered by Chevron. We'll be right back.
Don't sweat it, Noco. With cooler temperatures upon us, that only means more red hot takes. On Northern Colorado's voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is Brian Howell, Colorado Buffalo's beat writer for the Buff Zone, and you are listening to the whole show on 1310 KFKA.
The UNC Bears play on Saturday night against Sacramento State, and something's got to give in this one, too, Mike. You got Sac State, who's the best rushing team in the Big Sky Conference. They're running the ball all over the place. And UNC defense has been pretty solid this year, but against the run specifically, I think I looked this morning, and they're eighth in the conference in stopping the run. So that will be the point of emphasis. It's also a great pass rushing team by Sacramento State. I think they're second in the conference in sacks, so they're going to want to get after the quarterback, too. And we talked to Eric Gibson Jr., UNC's quarterback, on Tuesday, I believe. It's going to be a tall task for him. It's going to be a tall task for this defense as well to try to slow down that rushing attack. It's a huge game. It's one of the biggest games UNC's been in. Maybe the biggest game the Bears have been in since joining the D1 FCS ranks. No, it's not the biggest one.
What do you mean by been in? Like, been expected that they can possibly win?
Like, what it means if they win. Most of the games that the Bears have been in, if, you know, I guess when they had the six win seasons, some of those games might have meant something, but potentially they'll be ranked in the top 25 if they win this game. So I would say that that's probably a case for this being the biggest game the Bears have been in up to this point.
Yeah. That's a good case you can make.
You're welcome.
But they're I don't like that they are 10-point dogs. I don't like
that. What elaborate?
Well, it just feels like UNC's very good. Like, UNC's a very good team, and yeah, and so what if their defense is you know, eighth and they're
well, eighth against
number
the run.
Two,
they're
rushing.
Eighth against the run.
I just feel like they're better than that. And their offense proved that they are dangerous. So why are they 10-point dogs? Why? I don't see. If they're going to lose, they're not going to lose by 10 in my mind.
FCS is difficult, I think, for the – I think Derbs was talking about this, how this isn't like a – they can get confused quickly. The wise guys, they're not – the focus on this is not as sharp as the FBS side of things, maybe. Because I would have I was thinking we'd see like 3.5 or 4.5 or something. Sac State's still favored. I would give them that. I mean, you're on the road against a pretty darn good Mount West team. Or Mount West, Big Sky team. Yeah, this is going to be a tough one to pick, too. There's not a lot of obvious ones, I don't think, this weekend for me.
What's your football Friday record?
19-16.
And the picks, those are Saturday?
They're on Friday. Everybody knows that.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, you knew that. You forget sometimes. I have to remind you at the end of the show every Friday what we're doing. But most everybody else knows. 30 minutes after the hour, what does Brian Howell know about this Buffs team? Did they turn a corner by beating Iowa State? And now they got the week off, but more time to focus on Utah. Is it too late to turn their season completely around? We'll discuss next. But first, let's get the latest on the local sports flash.
There's only one sound like the key tumbling the lock open for the first time. One feeling like finally seeing your place after you've emptied all the moving boxes. That moment when four walls and a roof become the home you've always wanted. If you're on the search for that special place, we're the community bank that'll help you get there. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC. Equal housing lender.
This is Harrison Wynn with DNVR Nuggets. You're listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KSKA.
All right, just 35 minutes after the 12 o'clock hour, the Colorado Buffaloes are on a bye this week. They'll have Utah next week, coming off of a very big win, maybe too far behind in the Big 12 race, but maybe not too late to turn the season around to something positive. Took care of Iowa State 24-17, kept the Cyclones to 17 points of defense. Brian Howell joining us from Buff Zone. Defense looked pretty darn good. Overall, seems like the improve is starting to hit for Colorado.
Yeah, I think so. And you must not be watching the Big 12 if you think they're far behind.
Well,
the Big 12 is not. I'm just teasing you.
Yeah, there's a chance. It's just a tough road for the Buffs. Maybe they're not out of it, but yeah,
no,
they got a journey in front of them.
Yeah, they do. They pretty much are out of it. I agree with you. But, I'm joking because the Big 12 is obviously so volatile. But, you know, that was a big win for the Buffs. And, yeah, I think there are signs of a turnaround. You know, defensively, you know, you look at the yards. They gave up too many yards. But they made stops when they needed to. And they made some huge, huge stops. I mean, the interception at the goal line, the fourth down stop, and you know, Iowa State's 2 of 12 on third downs, and they were doing what they needed to do to get off the field, and it was pretty impressive.
Yeah, it really was. I had a feeling this might happen for CU. They would find a way with Iowa State. Because really, Brian, I looked at the BYU game, I looked at the TCU game. Like, both of those games, as much of the negative that we could take away from both of those games, there were plenty of opportunities for the Buffs to beat really well BYU for sure, but TCU kind of a pretty good football team. So I thought maybe there was a chance for CU to do something crazy here.
Yeah, I picked them to beat Iowa State because of that. I thought that they were playing some good football, and even though it was disappointing, you know, the hard part is you look back on it now if you're a Buff fan and or if you're the Buffs and say, you know what, we all kind of looked at the schedule in these segments, and at least those of us in the media were looking at it saying this middle segment is a gauntlet, you know, with BYU, TCU on the road, Iowa State, and then at Utah. And beginning of the year, it's like, man, I'm not sure they'll win any of those games. And they should be 3-0 in that stretch. I mean, they had 14-0 leads in the first two of those that they coughed up, and then they beat Iowa State. So they've handled this, quote, gauntlet fairly well. You want one more win out of that. But they've played better football than I think most people thought in these three games.
Well, and it was nice to see in this last game. Obviously they score first, they strike first. We're used to seeing that, but can you keep that going? And they had a pretty impressive third quarter too, scoring 14 points there. That was big. And I thought Caden Salter, he looked a lot better in this game. It was a rough start kind of, but he got better as this one went along.
Yeah, he did. And he really bounced back from just a bad first half against TCU and really just a bad game because they didn't do much in the second half, but the three interceptions in the first half at TCU. And he was really good against Iowa State. And, he struggled a little out of the gates, but then he got things going and he hit a couple of deep passes that we've been wanting to see out of him and, ran the ball well. That's the Caden Salter that if we would see that all year, they've got a shot to win a lot of games if he's playing like that.
He's a very confusing quarterback for my brain, Brian. I like him a lot. When he is on, he's on and he's exciting. And then I see him run 4 million yards backwards. that happens.
Yeah.
That's happened to him a lot. A lot of negative plays. When you always hear coaches, college, NFL, whatever, say, hey, we gotta eliminate the negative plays. That's what we're talking about with Caden Salter. But when he's not doing that, he's really good.
Yeah, I think that pretty much expresses how Deion Sanders feels too. it's been frustrating for them because they see all this potential in Caden Salter, but he doesn't always show it. And if he would, they'd be really good right now. I honestly think that some of his early season struggles, they're not the only reason they were losing, but they certainly have held this team back a little bit. And maybe he's gotten into a groove a little bit to where they can take that into the second half of the season.
How did that win over Iowa State? You called it, but how did that win change your perception of what the rest of the season looks like? Off this week, but then another part of that gauntlet at Utah, Arizona's left, at West Virginia, Arizona State at home, and then at Kansas State. Is your mind changing a bit about what potentially the Buffs could do, what that record might look like at the end of the season?
Yeah, I think so, and that's kind of the nature with college football, at least it seems that way covering this team, that the perception changes after one game a lot, and even last year when they had Shadur and Travis, you don't want to hear about last year as much, but like when they're coming out of Nebraska, right, and they get their butt kicked, you're like, man, the season's on the line here as we go to Fort Collins, and they just kind of turn it around in Fort Collins, right? And so you kind of feel different about that team after that. Same way with this team. If they had lost to Iowa State and they're 2-5 going into the bye, I think you could really see this team splinter because if they're 2-5, you don't have any confidence whatsoever that they're going to go to Salt Lake and win. So now they're 2-6, and then I think the narrative is going to be just throw Juju out there for the last month of the season and let's see what they have. Now you look at it and I say, you know what, you may not win in Salt Lake, but that's okay because they can win three or four out of the four games in November and go to a bowl game. I really believe that.
You that's what I was going to ask you next. If you think, because I think if you were able to get to a bowl game, if you're really following along with the Buffs, then I don't think you're going to be that disappointed. If you've been there from the beginning, knowing all the guys that they're trying to replace, all this different stuff, and Coach Prime without his son, without Shadur Sanders at the quarterback spot, I think you would be. I at least would look at that and say, hey, man, that's pretty good compared, considering where this team started and kind of what we thought. And I know Coach Prime talked about the roster being better this year, but I still looked at it and thought. I think you discussed this too, like a 6 or 7 win team.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that recruiting wise, this staff would have a lot to go off of if they can get to a bowl game and say, look, we turn it around after a slow start. I think just getting to a second straight bowl, we've talked about it before. The last time CU did that, Gary Barnett was the head coach.
Mm.
I mean, it was literally 20 years ago.
Wow.
2004 and 2005 was the last time they went to back-to-back bowls. That's a major feather in the cap of a head coach when you're recruiting a program and say, look, we're the first ones in 20 years to do it. We did it without Shadur, without Travis. We're a growing program. Just come here and you're going to win. So there's a whole lot to hang your hat on if they can get to that bowl game. It's a whole lot different if you're 4-8, So I think that November is going to be a huge, huge month for them. If you can go out and steal one in Salt Lake City, that'd be massive. But even if you don't, I think that they've got to put everything in on November because I think there's four winnable games there.
Brian Howell joining us from Buff Zone. And Brian, you mentioned, it's had my brain churning. You mentioned last year, you know, after the Nebraska game, it was like, uh-oh, how this thing could get ugly. And then it was the CSU game, which I picked appropriately, I think. I think I called that one. No, this is my beef to pick with the Buffs fans. I was with you on my picks. I picked CU to beat Iowa State. Crickets from the Buffs fans, man. Yeah. I mean, come on, Brian.
I know. You know, that's what happens, though, because, you know, I've picked the Buffs to win almost every time since the start of last year. And I didn't for 2 weeks in a row, BYU and TCU. You know, when you don't pick them, man, they let you have it. Mm-hmm. But then I pick an upset against Iowa State, which nobody else is picking, and it's like, eh.
Nothing. Okay. Yeah, come on, guys. You know, be appreciative.
Especially when you're right about it. You know, nobody came back and said, man, Brian, you had that one.
Yeah, it's like the algorithm. They only get the negatives. They don't get the positives. I don't know what's going on with those guys, but we'll see. I wanted to just get your take. Travis Hunter, man, I saw the Skip Bayless thing. It was ridiculous to me, dude. Travis Hunter's like what seems like you would speak better than this on this than I would, but it just seems like he's one of the like nicest dudes ever. I hate when I see a lot of negative going at this guy. What is there to pick apart? He's a rookie.
Yeah, I don't know. We would talk about that a lot last year too. It was like, why are they picking at Travis? He's like the nicest kid ever. He's never done anything wrong that we know of, you know. I don't know why people pick on him. And yeah, I didn't watch the whole thing of Skip because I can't.
Oh, 28 minutes.
I can't take that long of Skip, but I just want to hear what is he saying. And that was ridiculous, that take. I mean, I don't know how that's a distraction. I mean, I imagine there's been NFL players in the past that have gone to church before a game.
Yeah. Yeah,
this means the same type of deal, and so maybe it gave him some clarity for the game. And to say that he's checked out on the Jaguars is insane, because anybody that knows Travis Hunter knows that, yes, he wants to be a big contributor, but he's a winner, and he's a team guy, and the Jags are winning.
Yeah, and he's a rookie, and now we're hearing Jacksonville talk about how they're going to be trying to drop more plays for him where he would be the number one option. So I'm really excited to see. But in the small, and I haven't watched every Jaguars game, but the games that I have watched, I haven't looked at him and said, oh, wow, he's not living up to the hype at all. I think he's probably about where we kind of expect. He's not lighting it up, but I don't think anyone expected that. He's been solid.
Yeah, he really has. And just knowing Travis how I do, and just knowing the people that know Travis that I know, there's zero chance he's checked out on the Jaguars that are 4-2. You know, this is a team that had, well, I guess they traded up for the number two pick, but they've been a bad team. They're 4-2 right now, and yeah, playing some good football. There's zero chance he's checked out on the Jaguars.
No, I'm with you 100%, my friend. Brian, what are you working on for us so we can check out this weekend? Even though the Buffs aren't playing, what else is going on in your brain?
Yeah, I'm working on some time off, and also I'm going to do a little thing, chat with Rick George this week about just revenue sharing and just kind of how that's going for the Buffs so far. Is you know, they've been paying players. You know, the first time the schools can pay the players, they're doing that. So talk to them about that a little bit this week. So I'll have that this weekend.
That'll be fascinating, my friend. Looking forward to it. Always appreciate you, man.
You bet. We'll talk to you soon.
All right, Brian Howell, Buff Zone. Yeah, we talked about that, the Travis Hunter thing with Skip Bayless going off on Hunter, the video of Travis being baptized before a game, not like right before a game, but it just happened to be Sunday. And then you get a reporter that's like, and I had someone coming at me on this last night. I was like, why did you have a problem with the question that the reporter asked? You know, it was like, well, it helped shed some light on a positive thing. Yeah, but it was the response that shed some light on it. It was Travis Hunter's response. The question was very annoyed. She sounded very annoyed. Like, did you get baptized today or Sunday? Yes. Why did you do that? That's how it sounded. Why do you think he did it? Don't ask my coach, my basketball coach, who I loved, Coach Stevenson, stud, used to say, you know, the old adage, there's no such thing as a stupid question. And he's like, yeah, there is. One that's already been answered. Not one that's already been asked. One that's already been answered. So that the answer to why someone gets baptized has already been answered. So I'm like, you're asking it because you're trying to pin this guy in a corner and make him say something stupid. That's how I viewed it anyway.
Maybe she just has a really terrible personality.
She sounded like it. Faith just texted in. I had a problem with that reporter's tone. Yeah, I did too. It was a very annoyed. It was, did you get baptized on Sunday? Why did you do that? Like, that's how it sounded. And if you're hearing something different, then we are two different people.
She sounds like one of those people who worships themselves, not worshiping God.
Maybe. Maybe so. 49 minutes after the hour. Let's wrap up hour number two. We got the quarterback toilet bowl. I have been dominating this, but apparently I took a hit last weekend. Still beating Tanner, though.
That's the fumble?
It's the most important thing. Yeah. Fumbled a little bit.
My quarterback, recover it?
My quarterback did not fumble it, apparently. We'll be right back.
You want Broncos games and coverage? Keep it on Northern Colorado's voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA all season.
This is Cody Tucker with 7220sports.com, and you're listening to The Whole Show on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Is right in the world again, Michael. My picks have been on fire. I'm beating Tanner. I'm beating Mike Dancing with Myself, and I'm beating the dude down the hall. I'm 16-12 in the college picks that we do. Rocky Mountain College kickoff coming up at 2 o'clock today.
Yeah, but we don't consider Thursday's picks.
Well, that's on Thursday. Picks are on Friday. Everybody knows that. How does
Thursday
it feel to get to produce this show? Like, knowing how right I am on stuff, how the takes just flow from me, and they're right most of the time. How does that feel? That's got to be pretty cool for you.
I mean, Friday is cool, but Thursday is just below average.
I'm already moved on. We turned the page. I'm already studying film for next week.
So here you are on the road again?
Yeah, I'm studying film for next week. 12:55 the time. Coming up, we got the quarterback toilet bowl. Another thing I'm leading in. I mean, Mike, it's just, I don't know. Some people just have it. Clearly those guys don't, especially Tanner. We'll be right back. Yeah, that's coming up. Flush the toilets.
This KFKA podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. There's only one Colorado and one community like Greeley, the place we've called home for years. Family-owned, community-focused banking, Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.